Big Brother. It's a show that's on TV, just not on my TV. CBS, Time Warner, get it together. What the hell? Seriously. We had one of the most epic seasons going on, and I don't mean epic from a gameplay standpoint, because that would require the house guests to have at least one combined brain cell. They do not, as has been verified by numerous blogs, Joker's updates, and my affable co-host, Bill Hammond. Yes, folks, this is the Reality Rant Podcast. Eric Pierce of Game Show News Net. That affable gentleman is Bill Hammond, and Bill is going to tell you why you should be watching Big Brother this season. Go ahead, Bill.
Hold on. They had Dan on the eviction episode this week.
Yay! Why was Dan there?
To basically discuss the game and why it's not happening.
And why everyone's afraid to actually go after real people?
I mean, this was his assessment of Amanda's gameplay. She plays like a bully, she plays like a spoiled brat, but she's the only one playing the game.
Yeah, that's fair. At least from what I saw. I mean, I've been like 3 weeks removed from this show at this point. People, I need updates. Give me updates. You want to know how you do that? Easy. Go on Twitter. Tweet us in the face on Twitter. That's at Reality Rant. You can go on Facebook. Like us on Facebook or give me the full Reader's Digest version, which I always have to laugh because people say Reader's Digest version like it's shorter. But Reader's Digest basically is a bathroom reader. Yep. There's tons of text in there when you think about it. Give me that version. You can email us at realityrantpodcast@gmail.com. I'm of the understanding that there's no more rice in the Big Brother house.
There is no more rice.
There is no more rice. So Helen is gone. Judd came back from the jury house. So explain to me the status, the situation in the Big Brother house, because Aaron took control, had HOH like we talked about before. Helen gets the boot. All this crap happens. And now explain to me, Alyssa gets HOH?
Yep, she got one on HOH, Judd's back in the game, and then she almost completely screwed the pooch on her HOH.
How does she do that?
Because she knows that the alliance, the 3M alliance exists. They didn't announce themselves, but their actions were transparent enough, and Andy, you know, basically was so wishy-washy that they could tell something was going on. So then she knows that there's this alliance in place that took out her closest ally in Helen. And any logical person in this game would know, hey, there's an alliance of four when there's eight people left. And among that four is a couple that has been running the game the entire time. Mm-hmm. So who does she nominate? Aaron and McCray. Not Amanda McCray, Aaron McCray. I mean, yes, Aaron is the biggest threat. She's won the most competitions. I get that. But again, but Aaron was nominated for personal reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Not for her threat status.
But this has been a very personal and bigoted game.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we can't be surprised at this point that players would be acting in such a fashion.
You can't be that surprised, but at the same time, when there's that obvious of a couple left, especially given that Alyssa's sister was in this situation twice,
mm-hmm.
Don't let the couple survive.
Are you about to give Rachel more credit than Alyssa?
Sadly. because the most predictable outcome ensued. Amanda won the veto.
So Amanda wins the veto.
Hasn't won a competition all season, but when her showmance is on the block next to Aaron, she wins the veto. And of course, McCray's coming down.
So
neither one of them are going.
Amanda wins the veto, pulls McCray down. Andy goes up as a replacement.
And even that was skin of the teeth.
Who's going to get rid of Andy? Let's be serious. Aaron goes home. Now we're sitting here looking at, well, I think we're still looking at the same pile of duty that we were looking at early on this season. The season had a lot of potential to at least be drama, fun, and friendly, but gameplay doesn't exist. Nope. So I hate to bring up conspiracy theories and suggest this, but I mean, you have to ask the questions in tandem. Is Big Brother scripted, and who wins HOH right after Aaron? Oh, wait. Gina Marie does. So Gina Marie wins after Aaron gets evicted. Alyssa wins after Helen gets evicted. Amanda wins POV when she needs to save McCray. I mean, it happens too frequently. Do they just purposefully cast people who are so weak and pathetic that when someone finally has a reason to compete, they're able to elevate their game to such a level that it happens normally? Do they manipulate the games in such a way that you end up with people winning because they say, we need this type of challenge because this person's good at it? I mean, someone needs to go back and do the statistics on it. It's really painful when I think about it.
Yeah, I think you hit on that last point. It's they're making sure that they're timing out the competitions to get as close to the preferred result as possible. I mean, you know, a balance challenge so the yoga instructor can win. You know, and the thing is, during that competition, Alyssa literally almost fell off like 2 or 3 times, but she would like hold on to the ball receptacle and suspend herself in midair. She has that much body control. It was like, no one else would have been able to do that except her. You know, Amanda winning the veto, it's because everybody, it was like rolling the ball up the slope thing that they did a couple years ago while Zingbot taunts them. And it was just like, every time the ball drops out, you go back to zero. That was a competition that Adam almost won when he did it. I think that was Amanda winning that one was more of a happy accident, but of course we all know that it's been said so many times they basically rig the veto chip bag to get the people in the competition they want.
Here's what
it's like: there was no way Amanda wasn't going to get to play that competition.
Please bring back? And I'm going to ask for a particular challenge that everyone who really likes and knows Big Brother has watched it for a while has been craving to come back for a while.
Hold the button.
I want the torture chamber back.
Hold the button?
Hold the button.
Hold the button.
So simple, yet so devious.
Yep.
We love the challenges where it's, okay, what are you willing to give up in order to stay in this game? Those are great challenges. We need more of that.
Even this most recent HOH that happened with Gina Marie winning, again, not necessarily rigged, but it's a competition where they had to guide eggs through a chicken wire fence, like a maze in a chicken wire fence. And so naturally, someone with thinner fingers is going to succeed at that competition. And then they had a punishment of whoever comes in last place, or basically whoever has the fewest reps done when the competition's over, they get penalized by wearing chicken suits. So guess who got penalized? Spencer and Judd, the guys with bigger fingers. You know, Gina Marie gets to win. And how the hell has Gina Marie won 2 HOHs? Figure that one out. And the yokel guys get to look like idiots in chicken costumes for the next 2 episodes. They think they're putting out a good product by doing this stuff, but really, you're just reinforcing why you're losing your audience, and it's sad, really.
I don't know how to feel about this game anymore. I really don't. I mean, we're slowly getting rid of the people who deserve to win this, which, scary enough, Aaron actually moved up on that list. When you win that many competitions, when you had a character that you personally assassinated to absolute hell, yet found a way to turn it around a bit. She's one of the people who actually deserve to have a shot at this, and we're just running out of good options, and I can only imagine how much Dan was crapping himself, just being like, really? You want me to analyze these numbskulls? Are you serious?
I mean, this was the eviction episode, because again, you don't have CBS right now, so you didn't get to see it. It was the usual lead-up campaign after the veto meeting, where, and literally, Amanda, once she vetoes McCray, and Amanda has to give her replacement nomination, Amanda then stands up because she has to leave the meeting and says, like, sit down, trash. I was like, really? That's how you're going to end this? but the campaign, I mean, it was very clear that Aaron was going to be gone. And Andy, basically not wanting to be guilty by association with Amanda and McCray, he formed a new alliance with Gina Marie, Spencer, and Judd. And Judd himself is in a final two deal with Alyssa. And this new alliance, again, how many more alliance names are we going to have? This one's called the Exterminators, because they want to get rid of snakes and rats. Which, I guess, is clever, but then you consider that Gina Marie and Spencer are racist and homophobic, so I'm not really sure how they're going to work that out. But and again, Spencer kind of likes Nazi stuff, so I don't want him exterminating anything. You know, we don't want him to turn into a Dalek. But anywho, so we go to that stuff. It's a foregone conclusion. Aaron's gone. Then we come back and we talk to Dan for like 2-3 minutes. Then we waste 5 minutes on an at-home segment, but it's not for one of the players. It's the last three showmances analyzing McCranda. So I have to hear Brendan and Rachel's stupid voices. I have to hear Dominic and Danielle's stupid voices. And I have to yet again watch Jordan tell us that she wants to be a squirrel.
Yay. I mean, I like squirrels. There's nothing wrong with squirrels, but...
The clip was funny when it happened organically the first time 4 years ago. It's not funny anymore. I'm sorry, it's just not.
I just don't know. I don't know what to do with the show. A show hits a train wreck level, and you can only watch it for so long, but Big Brother goes on all summer. You need some game at some point to carry it.
Then we go to the living room. This is the C block now. Briefly talk about Amanda being a complete psycho hose beast for the last week.
Mm-hmm.
Briefly mention Spencer because for once he's not on the block. Like he's been on the block like 5 of the last 6 weeks. Because they consider him the ultimate pawn.
Right.
And even to the point where Spencer has to be tongue-in-cheek about it and say, "Hey, Julie, thanks for asking me a question. It only took 10 weeks. Then the vote, where again, Spencer's like, "Wow, I almost forgot what this feels like." You know? So, and then another commercial, D-block, we evict Aaron and have the epic post-eviction interview that we've been waiting for weeks.
Which, let's spend the rest of the time on this, because there's not much forward game that needs to be talked.
Let's talk about this interview. So. Yes.
Were the appropriate questions asked, and did we get meaningful answers? In fact, while you do this, I'm going to go ahead and take a link of this and publish it to our Facebook page, because everybody needs to see this.
That's a good idea. I like the way Julie started out, basically, you know, really keeping it to the game for the first couple of questions. That was smart. That's
legitimate. And no matter what, she is a player in this game and deserves
Don't start straight out with it. I mean, Aaron pretty much knew something was up when she came out of the house and had a couple of tepid claps and people booing her. You know? Mm-hmm. So Julie's like, "We'll get to that in a second, but let's talk about the actual game stuff." And only Aaron, she's the only one who actually brings the idea that, hey, maybe I was voted out because I won all those challenges and I'm a threat. Everybody, it was never mentioned once in the entire week leading up that's a legitimate reason to get rid of her.
What do you think is the bigger reason that she was voted out? Do you think it's because of that, or?
I think from a gameplay standpoint, everybody but probably Judd and Alyssa would have voted her out on actual competitions and threat grounds. I mean, because clearly, if they were going to vote her out on her character, they would have done it like 8 weeks ago. So, because they had 3 chances. But then Julie gets into asking about the racism and the homophobia. And this is just one of the few great moments of the season, because her initial reaction is basically the same reaction she had when Amanda warned her about it back in like week 3, saying it's a stereotype that people from the South are racist and everything was taken out of context. I was like, Julie's like, "Nothing was taken out of context. Here is what you said." Reads it back to her. Doesn't add tone and inflection. Just reads the words back. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the look of horror dawning on Aaron's face, like, "Oh, crap, you guys got that?" And then she quickly tries to cover her tracks, saying, like, "Oh, I don't remember saying that. I don't remember. I would have never meant that. I'm not a racist. I feel terrible." And the audience is laughing because they know she's full of shit. It's truly a wonderful moment. And again, Julie can't tell her anything about the outside world because she's a juror. But she does say, when you come into this game, you know that everything you say will be live on the internet 24/7. So she's basically hinting that what you said had consequences, but she can't tell you but can't tell you what. So for the next 3 weeks, Aaron is going to be paranoid and stressed the hell out in the jury house. She's gonna spend the next 3 weeks wondering what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I would not be surprised if when she comes back in finale night, if her hair's thinning. I would not be surprised. And again, Julie wasn't, you know, she really didn't go too deep into it. She basically gave one of the Candace lines, one of the Helen lines, and one of the Andy lines, and didn't even bring up the whole tossing Candace's bed bit.
Mm.
didn't even bring
exactly.
it up.
And this is the part that's crazy. It's like, you could have done a whole half-hour-long expose interview show on this.
Yeah.
You really could have. And I would have watched 30 minutes of this girl being just mm-hmm. reamed and asked questions. But fairly, you know, if she has good answers, I'll hear them. Good luck.
And I'm a little bit curious as to see what Jeff's going to be able to ask her on the web show tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Though I won't watch because I don't care. but again, it's the idea is like there was so much that could have been delved into, but they're limited on time. And honestly, just from the looks on Aaron's face and her scrambling to come up with an excuse, I think the point got across.
I think so too. Now, was she reminded that she doesn't have a job?
Again, can't tell her from the outside world. Like, so that's why, like Julie said, everything you say is on 24/7. It's like she's implying there are consequences to what you said, but I can't tell you what.
Now you should be able to, though. Now that she's out, we should have been telling. Hell, we should have had her boss there on stage to fire her.
Again, that could...
Drop her from that agency.
Even something like that, even though it's not germane to the game, it could affect her jury thought process so they don't do it.
Guess who doesn't give a shit?
Everybody?
Exactly. Let's end it on this, okay? I've got one big question to ask, and then we will be good for Big Brother, and sadly, we will be really sick about something else, but how many seasons until Aaron's on The Amazing Race?
If she's paired up with Andy, I'll watch it.
No, I refuse. Absolutely refuse. Not allowed. Speaking of Amazing Race... Don't get me started on this upcoming cast. Oh, wait, we will. That podcast is coming to you in the near future. So, until then, you know us, Eric Pierce, Bill Hammond, Reality Rant. We come around every once in a while, you know, when we're not going ahead and making national TV appearances. Hint, hint. Yeah. So, listen to the podcast. We'll bring you more of the reality news you can use and abuse. And until next time, this Reality Rant is...
In a season begging for good moments, Andy's eviction speech was... pretty priceless tonight. I'll give you that much.